I will be talking about the Reentry Health Center for D.C. residents and how that came about. Here's the history of Unity Healthcare. We're a nonprofit organization within D.C. We began in 1985 as Healthcare for the Homeless, and then we got expanded into two FQHCs that we're going to go under in the district. Thus, we had to change our name from Healthcare to the Homeless to Unity Healthcare. And then in 2001, the D.C. General closed, as well as they were going to close all the public health centers within D.C., and Unity was asked if they would run those, and so we did in 2001. And then the next big growth was when we were asked in the spring of 2006 if we were interested in running the health services in the D.C. jail. So that led to farther knowledge and need of a reentry healthcare center. In D.C., we do not have a prison. they go throughout the country, and you'll see that later. So thus, in 2008, we opened the reentry health center, and now we're 26 years old. Here you can see a picture of D.C., we have 13 health centers, we have the two correctional health centers, we have reentry, we have three school-based health centers, 10 homeless sites, three of them open every day, and seven open one or two times a week, and then a mobile van. And you can see how many patients we served in 2010, 82,000. So, as I mentioned, 2006, we received the contract for D.C.'s Department of Corrections. It's actually two facilities right next to each other. One, the ADP is average daily population. For one is 2,000 and the other is 1,000. It is the community-oriented correctional health care. That's the model. Our mission as Unity Healthcare, is to treat everyone regardless of ability to pay. We saw this as part of our mission. Most of our providers are half and half providers, we call them. That means that they are in the health centers or a homeless site 2 or 3 days a week, and in the jail 2 or 3 days a week. So we have them dispersed. We try and get, we have about 20, 25 of our sites have these providers within the jail as well as the health center or the homeless site. As well, since we started in 2006, our dentist started doing half and half care, as well as our psychiatrists. So we've expanded upon the model. It really has taken a lot of work between security and corrections and us. It's actually kind of exciting. We're actually going through a review at the jail now, and incidentally, the security there was, once in a while you have to fight for compassionate release. We actually received it. In the beginning when we did this, we didn't know how to get the patient to hospice, how to get them to respite housing, and now we've developed a relationship. The last two people, security actually took them to their housing, which was quite a move and a collaboration. We have had some contract changes just because of the economic situation, and then the big part of it was discharge planning. We actually recognized by the National Commission on Correctional Health Care in 2008, for our discharge planning. We had 11 discharge planners trying to arrange those connections to the community. Unfortunately, with the contract changes, we're down to 4, but we still concentrate on those that are chronically ill and the ones that are most and feel like people know Unity Healthcare. Thus, we knew there was a need for a reentry health center. We initially tried to set up things right across from the jail. It was difficult. People had more immediate needs. They weren't really concentrating on their health care in the hours following incarceration. Thus, we went to and got some funding from foundations mentioned there. Again, we had some challenges with space. So the focus shifted from the D.C. jail to BOP returnees. We actually were sending our medical van out to one of the halfway houses. We knew there was a need. You can see from the map how we're spread all the way across the country, the darker blue being where most of the patients are. That circle represents actually a law that they were supposed to stay within that area, but in reality, once you're sentenced and go on, then they're all across. So then we have 2,200 returning citizens back to D.C. in a year. We are located in southeast an area I'm underserved in Ward 8. There, a church actually let us use a trailer, a double trailer, that we're a walking distance from one of the largest halfway house in D.C., Hope Village. We full services and a large social services component that I'm going to talk about. Patients are seen within 1 to 2 days arriving at the halfway house. They receive a complete medical evaluation. Immediate medical problems are dealt with. We address all the preventative issues, all the immunizations that they might not have gotten, HIV care, hepatitis, whatever is needed. And you can see the U.S. percentage of some chronic diseases is in the green and how it's double for most of the chronic diseases. Here's just an overview of how many we've seen for medical visits as well as social services. They have their medical intake. They immediately go over to social services. The connectivity. We do see them while they're in the halfway house or the 6 months when they're coming home. And then we try and connect them with one of our other health centers, or we do have patients that are returning to Virginia or Maryland, which is a little bit more of a challenge. Again, social services, we have 4 case managers. They do ongoing case management with the halfway house in CSOSA, which is probation and parole. DC is fortunate enough, we get them all insurance. We work with our partner agencies, mentoring, employment, Jubilee Jobs, housing, linkage to mental health services, and you can see a number of services that we do assist with. You can see some of the outcomes, the rearrest. These are high people that we've tried to reduce. You can see we're hoping to better track and outcomes in that. Successes. Again, it's outcomes, it's individual stories. I mean, the amount of people that have come back and said thank you, we have more on that, not enough time. The other big part is Dr. Getches, the medical director of Unity Healthcare, had been fighting for years and years to get FBOP records back. We actually now have a system set up with the BOP to get those records back, and that's really starting to take off. So everyone coming into the halfway house, we automatically get their and within a day or two if they didn't bring it with them. The other one is the EMR implementation in 2009. So our half and half providers can see the records from the jail. They can also see the records the jail has a centricity EMR. The health centers have an ECW, but we can see each other's records. Even though it's not automatic, we have access on both sides. And corrections allowed us to do that, have a read only from our health centers. So that's actually a great public health model. We do think I wish we could calculate how much money we might be saving. We don't repeat PPDs, checks to x-rays, CT scans, and things that way. We also see that we're adapting to the needs. So we're readjusting focuses as we need, such as with discharge planning, such as really trying to get with Bureau of Prisons and those returning citizens. Challenges, attracting non-halfway house residents at the reentry center. Anyone sent in a halfway house to the emergency room or anything, we have that connection. We get that information. A lot of people coming returning go to our other health centers. So we are seeing them, but there are some added values at the reentry, a whole wraparound in the social services. Obviously, a challenge is the employment, the housing throughout the country. That's an issue. We also have some difficulty with services that are especially needed for our women. It was mentioned about outside of Charles, Virginia and Maryland residents. There's not as much available for Virginia and Maryland. D.C. is fortunate. Single men have access to insurance. You know, they do have, so that's a big thing. Self-management, for patients in a halfway house, we still come into some of the security focus. Healthy lifestyle, it's hard for them to get the diet and exercise sometimes they need. The other thing is, Hope Village, you can smoke. They might not have been smoking. They weren't smoking in the D.C. jail or they weren't smoking in the BOP. They come back. They're in that environment. So we health risk. Future, we are moving from our 2 trailers into a new very large Anacostia Health Center, which is exciting. Again, within moving into that health center, we do see a challenge in a future growth of this, remaining that strong commitment to the population. We have one floor dedicated for reentry, but that's always a challenge, and it's also exciting for more integration. The electronic medical records, we're trying to get more on data analysis and quality improvement. One slide that I had for another presentation, we have seen definite, you know, viral loads and different health indicators that are much better. In the jail, we're very proud of how we've done. Our quality indicators for hypertension, diabetes, HIV are much higher in the community. Some, you have a captured population, but that those ones have been great. And we, you know, viral load, it was like 98% that was suppressed at 3 months. So reducing recidivism, we're hoping that we can show that we're having an effect on that. That's very hard. Then we also have healthcare reform and how we're going to adapt to that.